Blog Talk Radio.
From inviting potential ISIS militant radical Muslims into America like last week's Salvadorans to ramping up Islam in the U.S. overall and coming from a small technologically limited fly-papered rat-trapped and cockroach-poisoned single-wide trailer. Kelly O'Connell, good morning to you, 6:06. It means a lot to me that you'd get up at 6 to hang out with me. Thank you. I hope you're doing well. I hope you got your cup of joe going. I just barely made it back into the studio after making a pop myself, so I know the feeling. On this 20th of February, February's flying by, I did a little speech last night at the tea party, and thought it went pretty well, you know. Talked about John Dewey. I'll talk to you about him a little bit since I just had it in my mind, but got a lot of interesting stuff to talk about, and it is an interesting time to be an American. It's an interesting time to, I think it's an important time. The reason that I say that is because talking to these people last night, I'm not a member of the Tea Party, but I wholly identify with the goals of the Tea Party, and I think that, it's an important group of people. It's kind of an attempt to return to a more American way of seeing things. And I think it's important because I think one of the things that came up last night was that we as Americans, we people who understand where this country came from and what it's about, what the attempt was, I think it's important that now more than ever we stand up and let the government, let our senators and congressmen, let the newspaper, let our friends and neighbors know what's going on and how important it is. I mean, people were saying last night to me, I think it's over or it's close to being done. The country has changed so much. Would you be happier to be alive now or 50 years ago? I think 50 years ago, because there was a sense of identity and purpose, common goals, common experiences, the idea of suffering for a better purpose, whether it's World War II or whatever, the Vietnam War, as much problems as that war caused America. I think there was a sense of the idea of the importance of service and sacrifice and care for the other person, putting other people before you, that doesn't really exist anymore. And I don't think you can be a happy person without those type of things. All right. So happy Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. Moscow and NATO on collision course, according to the Drudge. Now, here's some pretty amazing news weather-wise. It is weather that is as cold, and I've talked to friends back in Georgia, back in New York City. It is supremely cold back there right now, so I'll get into that a little bit. Life-threatening freeze hits the South. Now, there's an amazing story that came out of a lady who was at a party in New Jersey. She'd had a couple of drinks and left around midnight. She lived two doors away. And, you know, it was maybe a 60-year-old lady. Her husband left her behind. And when she didn't show up the next morning, when she wasn't there, he thought she had spent the night at this neighbor's house. I guess they were pretty close. And what happened then was that she was discovered face down in a snowbank, dead. So she had come outside, you know, to go home. It was two doors away. I guess apparently tripped, fell face first in a snowbank and couldn't get out. So just epic. And once again, I will ask you the question that always comes to mind to me. What would it take for people to be talked out of global warming? I mean, what is global warming? What is global warming? What is its hold on the average person that is so strong that no seeming anecdotal evidence or anything can disprove this thing in people's minds? All right, here is a little bit of Weather Channel on this storm.
Nasca actually pushes the Arctic air far north into New England. Warm, moist air comes right up along this boundary. We'll end up with a wintry mix in here, changing over to rain in the Tennessee and Ohio valleys. Take a look at Little Rock and Nashville. Freezing rain and snow for tomorrow. As we go into the next day, into Saturday, this is an all-rain event with thunderstorms back here as that warm air works its way in and pushes colder out of the way. The cold air stays in force here over a fresh snowpack, and I think we'll stay all snow here, but the wintry mix could make it up as far north as New York and into Boston. So,
all right, so there's another story here that the train rails, the train tracks cracked in one of these places. Just absolutely crazy. The records were smashed in Chicago and all across the South. The records are being smashed. And in New York City, it was supposed to get down to 2 degrees last night. I mean, we're talking about temperatures that are so cold, you know. so cold that, you know, it really is with the wind. I think the wind last night in New York City was 40 miles an hour. And, I mean, think about it, that negative 2 with 40-mile-an-hour winds. How long would you last outside? How do these homeless people, how do they make it? Washington, D.C., the metro is back to running trains on all tracks after a crack was found in one of the lines. And it was related to the cold. So you think about that. It's so cold it's breaking metal. And there is also, I mean, Boston. It's incredible if you think about Boston as, I think, broken the record for most snowfall in a month and for a winter. And Boston is a place that's used to extraordinary low temperatures and for a big city and for snowfall. So at what point do people give up on global warming? I don't think they do. I think that no matter what happens, it can always be attributed to it will always be attributed.
This video is sponsored by Travelers, you know, Insurance. No matter the weather, perhaps, we can help you stay prepared.
It's going to be something that is caused by man's activity, and this is a very, very crazy and pagan way of seeing things. And the reason I call it pagan is it was the ancient Romans who thought that they could control things on Earth by doing the right religious activities. That's not an idea that really occurs in the Bible. All right, here is a little more Winter Storm Pandora from weather.com.
Let's take a quick look here at the setup. Moisture coming out of the Gulf of Mexico into the cold air that's already locked in across the U.S. Now, that cold air retreats into New England. We get more of a southwest flow here across the U.S. in our jet stream, and it's going to allow that warmer air to work its way right up through the mid-Atlantic and into the eastern seaboard. We start out with a mixed precipitation that works its way northward here into the northeast. Interior New England, lower Great Lakes going to stay as snowfall. And it's going to be a real interesting battle that we have here as to whether we'll actually change over to rain in Boston. Right now, we are suggesting that we will, during the day on Sunday, briefly change over to rain. And that's going to be a rain that's going to soak that snowpack. Here's total snowfall out of this event from Pandora's that worked its way up into the northeast. And a lot of moisture into that cold air going to produce a wide area of snowfall. Now,
well, you've got big snowfalls all across the east, the northeast, the south. I mean, Georgia, Florida. We're talking about record temperatures in Pennsylvania, places like that. So be glad you're not there, my friends. It's been pretty balmy here recently. As a matter of fact, let me get you the temperature right now at 6:15. And we have got 47 degrees, believe it or not. Here is, I've got a little bit of Ray Charles and Willie Nelson, Seven Spanish Angels. We've been listening to Ray Charles this week. You could listen to this guy for a year. He produced so much music and blues, jazz, R&B, country. He did about 10 years of country, and he scored very well on the pop charts in country. He was just... they call him the genius. There was nobody ever like Ray Charles. Probably never will be again.
Fatherhood. Lesson number one.
You see the light?
Pregnant wives have late night cravings.
The ice cream?
Well, let's take a break here. 6:16. We'll be right back.
Lesson number two.
Thank you.
Make sure you get her ice cream in a cup.
Good morning, 6:21. Sorry about the the silence on the air. I forgot to hit the automatic button when I was grabbing my cup of coffee. Anyway, some more headlines for you. Ron Paul predicts there's going to be a de facto secession movement. What do you think about that? And I think the idea out there is that the government is continually not representing the will of the people and is doing things that most people consider to be absolutely either scandalous, idiotic, treasonous. For example, bringing people from ISIS areas, from Syria, into the United States without the ability to really screen them, or even bringing them at all during the Civil War, when there's so many of these fighters over there, at a time when ISIS has already said it plans on infiltrating Europe, doing the same thing, using refugee status to bring in secretly these rebels. Now, here's the question that I have for you today. Do we have the willpower to live? Do we have a willpower to survive? One of the things that I've noticed is sometimes when societies become more prosperous, it gives them more time to think, to navel gaze, whatever. And what you end up with is hand-wringing and these type of things. But especially in America, for whatever reason, and I have to connect it to the far left and political correctness, this constant drip, drip, drip attack against America, our values, our history, our current activities, you know, it adds up. And, you know, I think there's a lot of young people, that's all they've ever heard from the media, what a bad place America is. There are individuals out there who think that they're good people because they attack America, you know, at least verbally. They put us down, and they put down men, they put down capitalism. They do all these things that they're trained to. They don't know any better. It's up to us to try to get people's attention, you know. Talk radio, maybe the last bastion of free speech. Anyway, some more headlines for you. NSA helped British steal cell phone codes. Bill O'Reilly blasts those who claim he misled on the war. Apple may have its own car in 5 years. Mayoral race in Chicago could expose national Democrat divides. There are divides in the Democratic Party. Whenever you lose, there's going to be divides. Okay. This is from CNN. My boy joined ISIS and Canadian mom. Easy for them to get our children. Now, let me ask you one thing. If ISIS, with all of its crazy activities, with all of its evil that it does, what if they're putting out a better product than the West? What if they're making their ideas seem more romantic, more noble? Sacrifice for us. There's a higher cause. Who in America is doing that? Who in the West is doing that? We're too busy, you know, committing suicide. We can't stand up for our way of life. And, you know, I mean, it's just absolutely crazy that ISIS could come here and get people to join their movement when they're like the most evil people in history. All right, some more stories here. Kim Jong-un debuts new hairdo. And that's CNN. Here's ABC News. Man in Santa Barbara rampage sought ways to silently kill. Two trains collide in northern Switzerland, 5 injured. Former Virginia governor's wife to be sentenced. That was a crazy fall. American sniper trial defendant believed co-workers were cannibals, doctors say, so he's using the insanity defense. All right, here is Fox News for you. Clinton Connection Foundation donors lobbied Hillary's State Department. So they've got this Clinton, this foundation that was put together for Bill Clinton, and they say there's an overlap between the charitable activities and the other activities, and that there's been a lot of lobbying for this thing, and that I think the fear is that I think the fear is that people believe that, that the Clintons are benefiting from it. In the meantime, they're saying that there are spies in the Clinton camp, the Hillary Clinton camp, that are trying to destroy her before she can get off the ground. And all right, so let's get to, well, here's a little bit of Wall Street Journal. Hackers still in New York, in, pardon me, a network of State Department. So people have hacked from outside the United States, hacked into the State Department and are still in there. They can't, they can't get them out. All right. So, well, let's play. I will play you a little bit of Willie Nelson. I'm just trying to see what other headlines you find might find notable here. Well, we're going to come back and get into a little bit of local stuff for you. In the meantime, though, I got some Ray Charles for you. Seven Spanish Angels with Willie Nelson, kind of a classic song here. And Kelly O'Connell Show, 727, will be right back.
Fatherhood, lesson
actually,
number one.
This thing
pregnant wives have late night cravings. Really
the ice cream, please.
Lesson number two. Make sure you get her ice cream in a cup. With a lid.
That's why you want accident forgiveness from Allstate. It keeps your rates from going up just because of an accident. Plus, when you switch today, you could save up to 10% more on your auto policy.
There's a few more ways. The good hands are doing more than ever before.
Talk to a local Allstate agent today.
Each year, 95% of homeowners won't have a claim. But if you do, with Allstate, your rates won't go up just because of it. Good dog. Claim rate guard from Allstate.
Thank you, baby.
Finally, something fun going on. The game, Mrs. Hudson, is on.
England, England!
Hey, mate, make new friends.
Oh, bloody standing.
You're thinking of joining up, aren't you?
Oh, God, yes.
Kelly here. It is Kelly here. Good morning to you. And here's some local and state news. House Dems walk out in protest over debate on bill. A debate on the House floor ended with the entire Democratic caucus walking out in protest on Tuesday night. After more than 3 hours of debate, mostly by Democrats, an amendment was introduced by a Republican. Following the introduction of the amendment, House Majority Leader Nate Gentry, Republican Albuquerque, moved to close debate. And debate can be stopped by a majority vote after 3 hours on a bill, according to House rules. Democrats claim they were not given the proper amount of time to debate the new amendment and want an additional 3 hours. And Republicans claim to be just following procedure. And when the Democrats disagreed, they stormed out. So that's one way to get your way. And we've got a new Mexico budget bill to include pay hike for new teachers and police. And new teachers and state police officers will expect pay raises in the next fiscal year as the lawmakers are coming together on this. Now, CYFD, Children, Youth, Families Department, will get an additional $8 million to spend on early childhood and juvenile justice initiatives. And so anyway, you're getting more stuff for teachers, which is going to please a lot of people. And I've got a kind of a strange story here.
A plastic chair doesn't belong in your living room, neither does a plastic window. Poor quality vinyl windows are the same.
UNM student groups wants guns allowed on campus. Now, what do you think about that? How about for NMSU? It's a University of New Mexico student group saying students should be able to carry guns on campus and argues and says that doing so could prevent sexual
they say
now, what do you think about all these shootings on campuses? Couldn't that... Just say for the sake of the argument, instead of pretending that guns are inherently dangerous, like explosives, treating them as defensive tools that could, I mean, how many of these situations where people blazing away at other people on schools, for example, that if someone had a gun, they could have at least distracted the shooter, if not killed them, and saved many lives. All right, check this out, and this is from KOB.
Be able to carry guns on UNM's campus. Besides keeping them safe, a student group argues it could even prevent sexual assaults. Kai Porter is live at UNM with both sides of the heated debate. Kai.
And Tom, trust me, there are some very strong opinions on both sides of this debate. Many students are telling me they haven't made up their minds yet because it's such a complicated issue and there are so many things to consider. But at least one group of students here on campus has made up their minds.
Student organization UNM Young Americans for Freedom wants to get the gun debate going.
We are promoting gun rights on campus.
Ryan Boyle doesn't agree with state law that prohibits carrying guns on campus.
Between Sandy Hook, Virginia Tech, Columbine, there's all these shootings, and I'm left there without defense. I'm defenseless. And so what we're just promoting is my ability to protect myself.
Other students, like Christopher Hughes, don't think guns on campus are a good idea. He's worried more guns will mean more accidents.
I think the primary concern with large populations and large amounts of guns is that you're going to increase the negligent discharge of that firearm.
Boyle believes female students who carry guns could protect themselves from sexual predators. Just last week, police say a man with a knife tried to sexually assault a woman outside Zimmerman Library. He grabbed her and tried to unbutton her pants, but she kicked him and got away.
If she had a firearm and maybe pulled it out, the guy could have seen it, got a little scared and ran away, and there would never have been an assault.
Students we spoke with can see both sides of that argument.
I think there is a good point that if we had protection, it'd be really good to avoid that. I feel like tasers are a better idea or something like that, because then you're protecting and disarming, which is the ultimate goal, without killing someone.
So what do you think? Should students be allowed to carry guns on campuses? You can log on to our Facebook page right now. Our KOB.
All right, it's from KOBE. So KOB, pardon me. So what do you think about that? Now the girl said, well, it's better to have tasers because you can disarm people, or you know, it's better than guns. A gun, in my opinion, isn't in this situation. It, let's say a sex assault would be to kind of get the person to back off. But I'm sure that you can foresee the next series of questions. Is that your gun, or are you just happy to see me? All right, Kelly O'Connell here. Willie Nelson with Ray Charles, Seven Spanish Angels. I finally got it to go. 637, 638 on the button, KOBE, 523, 1450 to call in, and we'll be right back with a little more New Mexico news.
Wonderful. No, let's do Seven Spanish Angels. This is a song that Ray Charles brought down to the studio a few weeks ago and let me sing with him on it. And it's going to be a phonograph record pretty soon, right?
You're right.
And we'd like to do it for you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He looked down into her brown eyes and said, say a prayer for me. She threw her arms around him, whispered, God will keep us free. They could hear the riders coming. He said, this is my last fight. If they take me back to Texas, they won't take me back alive.
Factory rebates up to $6,250. Interest rates as low as 0%. 3,000 new Fords all ready for immediate sale. Celebrate now at your new... During our President's Day celebration, with up to $3,750 cash back on the 2015 Ford Fusion, or lease from $157 per month, choose the 2014 Ford Escape and get $3,250 cash back or lease from
Tonight, UNM is getting sued by a former student who says she
Opposition
was raped and the university did not handle
among
it
our lawmakers
well at all.
For a statewide
the
ban,
comes months
and
after
it would
the
mean
DOJ
no selling e-cigarettes
investigating
to anybody
UNM
younger
for how
than
it handles sexual assault. Erica Zucco is live at the university with the details. Erica.
Yeah, Tom, the former UNM student accused two football players and a C&M student of raping her last year. Now she is claiming in a lawsuit that university...
A bill aimed at making life a lot easier for rape. A bill aimed at making life a lot easier for. Tonight, UNM is getting sued by a former student. Some winter weather we're having, right? Mountain.
Well, the warmer weather lately is causing a lot of.
Kelly here, and I don't know about you, but when I thought it was still winter, I was sneezing and rubbing my nose and everything. Here's a little clip on that from KOB.
Well, the warmer weather lately is causing a lot of us to sneeze. Early blooms are increasing the pollen count, making for a long, very rough allergy season. Eddie Garcia joins us now in our studio with more about how bad it really is out there, Eddie.
Oh, Tessa, you know, while gathering the story, we ran into people suffering with allergies. It seems like every few steps. Now, many told me it feels like the attacks are starting early this year. And you know what? They're right.
A perfect day to play Frisbee out here at Roosevelt Park. The sun is out, people are out, and lurking in these juniper trees is trouble.
All right, so that's Albuquerque, but I think it's happening down here because I woke up the other night myself and I was having, you know, I've never really had this before, but there's so much allergens, so much pollen here. I know people will call up and say eat honey and stuff like that, but I've never had a situation where, you know, I feel like I'm having an asthma attack. So, and it's starting up already. It's just amazing. All right, here's a story on an attempt to ban e-cig statewide.
Withering and support is growing among our lawmakers for a statewide ban, and it would mean no selling e-cigarettes to anybody younger than 18. Our Stuart Dyson has that story at the Capitol in Santa Fe.
Early on, the American Cancer Society opposed this bill, and that made a lot of lawmakers doubtful about it. Now that has changed, and the bill has broad support in both parties in the House of Representatives. The Cancer Society didn't like the bill because it doesn't define e-cigs as tobacco products and tax and regulate them like tobacco. But lawmakers came to appreciate the simplicity and clarity of the bill. It sets up $1,000 fines for merchants who get caught selling e-cigs to minors. Republican Monica Youngblood sponsors the bill.
We can deal with the, you know, the discussions of taxing and everything else.
they want to do with these products on another day in a different bill. This bill will prohibit the sales to minors, period. And that's what all that this bill does, and that's all that needs to be involved in this bill. And that's all the discussion needs to be about.
Democrat Ken Martinez agrees.
We didn't want to bite that much off because that's kind of a federal issue. What we want to say, okay, let's do the first, and I think most important thing is just make sure that kids don't get a hold of them.
The bill is awaiting final approval in the House before it goes over to the Senate. The governor supports outlawing e-cig sales to minors.
There are a couple of other e-cig bills.
All right, so getting rid of e-cigs, what do you think about that? Now, here's another one, Rachel's Law, that could be a little stuck there. So,
bill aimed at making life a lot easier for rape victims is sailing through the legislature right now. Stuart Dyson is live at the Capitol with the latest on Rachel's Law.
We met Rachel Gonzalez back in January, a woman raped by her own father. Now her bill to help other rape victims is about to pass in the House of Representatives. Rachel has to go to court every year, sometimes every 6 months, to renew the restraining order that keeps her father away from her. And every time she has to see him in court, the father who raped her and stalked her when he got out of prison 20 years later. Rachel's Law would let judges make those restraining orders permanent for every rape victim.
I feel hopeful for the victims of sexual assault because this is a bill that will help them. And with regard to legislation, it's not an easy road. It's a difficult road, and I've learned that this year.
Now we've got it to where we can make it through the Senate. Had a lunch with Congressman Pierce yesterday. They're actually looking, once we get done here, we'll take it to.
All right, so I assume that's going to pass, and let's take a little break here, and here's a little more Willie Nelson for you, or pardon me, Ray Charles and Willie Nelson, and then I've got a strange story called the thoughts of female prisoners or something like that. Here, we'll be right back. Kelly O'Connell, Seven Spanish Angels.
Oh. There were seven Spanish angels at the altar of the sun. They were praying for a lover in the valley of the gun. When the battle stopped and the smoke cleared, there was thunder from the throne. And seven Spanish angels took another angel home.
Folks, here is something called Hear from Some of New Mexico's Most Notorious Female Killers, KOAT.
Some of New Mexico's most notorious killers are women serving time for bizarre crimes.
While some have excuses, others have apologies. But as Target 7's Nancy Lawson reports, all of them did something that changed families and the community forever.
I killed him.
Ellen Snyder, a mother, wife, and at one time a successful businesswoman. Now she's behind bars for manslaughter.
And I just started shooting. I don't know how to use a gun. I shot the TV. I shot the wall. I shot the floor. I shot him. He turned to run. I emptied the whole gun.
Snyder almost got away with murder. Almost. In 2002, she shot and killed her husband, Mike, then convinced her teenage son to help bury his stepfather's body in the yard of their far northeast Albuquerque home.
As a mother, how did you ask your son to do this with you?
I don't have an answer to that.
For 8 years, Snyder told no one, explaining to relatives that Mike had abandoned the family. But as the years passed, the crime was something Snyder's teenage son couldn't live with. He told a friend who told police. Because New Mexico laws have time limits when it comes to prosecuting homicides, Snyder, who was just incarcerated in 2010, is set to get out of prison in 3 years.
Do you feel any guilt over this whole thing?
I don't know that I feel guilt.
While Snyder may not feel guilty over her crime, there is another woman behind bars at the women's prison in Grants who does.
I didn't stop him. I couldn't stop him. I failed to save those people's lives. There was nothing supposed to happen to them.
Mr. Beckley was involved in a crime that shook the community and changed the lives of so many Albuquerque families forever. In 1996, she and Shane Harrison robbed the Hollywood Video Store. Three young employees who were working that night were all shot execution style during the robbery. The grandparents of one of those employees showed up to the store to pick him up from work. The elderly couple was carjacked, then driven to the East Mountains, where they too were shot and killed. Beckley is set to go before a parole board in 2025. While that crime defined a decade, there was another one in the 1980s that shook the community and another family too. In 1987, 19-year-old Darcy Pierce forced Cindy Ray, a complete stranger, into a car. Cindy was 9 months pregnant. Pierce drove her to the mountains, strangled her, then cut Cindy's baby from her womb with a car key. Cindy Ray bled to death. Her baby survived. Darcy Pierce is set to go before the parole board in 2018.
I'm not going to cooperate.
Then there's the case of Linda Henning. Linda Henning is at the women's prison in Grants along with the other killers. She's been there since 2003. Her crime? Killing Girlie Chu Hassenkopf. Hassenkopf and her husband Diazin were going through a nasty divorce. Linda Henning was Diazin's lover, and according to love letters exchanged between the two, her extraterrestrial soulmate.
The empire consumes all. The strong survive and the weak perish. That's about everything you need to know.
She is set for release in 2038. While investigators found Girlie Chu's fluids, hair, and clothing, they've never located all her remains. For Target 7, I'm Nancy Laughlin.
Snyder is only serving 8 years for killing her husband, Mike Snyder. Prosecutors say they could not seek harsher charges for second-degree murder because the statute of limitations had run out. A bill that would eliminate that time limit is currently making its way through the roundhouse. A similar one failed 3 years ago.
All right. Yeah, pretty interesting, huh? Now, there's one last story here about, you remember the rape? The girl that charged the UNM football players with a rape, and it was dismissed? Here is that story. The girl is going to court, and she's suing the school for not doing anything about the rape.
By a former student who says she was raped and the university did not handle it well at all. The suit comes just months after the DOJ announced it's investigating UNM for how it handles sexual assault. Erica Zucco is live at the university with the details. Erica.
Yeah, Tom, the former UNM student accused two football players and a CNM student of raping her last year. Now she is claiming in a lawsuit that university administration interfered with a police investigation to help protect the reputation of its athletic department.
The focus of the lawsuit isn't whether Crusoe Gongbe, Saquon Edwards, and Ryan Ruff are guilty or innocent of gang raping the former UNM student. It's about whether the state's largest university botched an investigation and violated Title IX after she reported the alleged rape. The lawsuit claims that the athletic department knew about the rape allegations and didn't report them, that Title IX investigators ignored witnesses and reports who said the woman was drugged, and that the office never asked for or received a report of her rape examination, which she says showed signs of forced sexual activity. She says the Title IX investigators refused to take action against the men, and that when she appealed, UNM's president signed a letter denying her an appeal. A lawyer for Ruff, Edwards, and Gongbae maintains that the three men are innocent, but says he, too, has a problem with how UNM handled the case. He places most blame on UNMPD.
I say that was deficient to begin with. I think their investigation was horrible. It was inept. It was incompetent.
And UNM tonight says that they have not been served with notice of that lawsuit. So they have not had a chance to review all of those allegations. But the university says that it takes every allegation of sexual violence very seriously, and they try to create a fair process for all students. Live at UNM, Erica Zucco, KUBI Eyewitness News 4.
If you recall, and I don't remember, it's been a while, but I thought it was kind of an interesting story, which at the same time this situation was going on with Jameis Winston, who won the Heisman Trophy the year before this last one. He was charged, and he ended up getting off, and it seemed like just a miscarriage of justice in that one. This particular case, when these young men were charged with rape, they never even brought the car in that the crime supposedly happened. It was just sitting there for weeks. And I mean, it could have been obviously cleaned or anything. It could have been sold for all anybody knew. It was a complete joke up there. And, you know, don't forget that these sports programs are like sports empires, and they're treated with the utmost deference. And, you know, there's a lot of money that comes into universities through boosters if the university is doing well sports-wise. It can mean enormous, enormous riches to the school and a lot of prestige. So I assume that a lot of times when stuff like this happens, it is hushed up just because there's so much riding at stake. All right, well, you've been listening to the Kelly O'Connell Show, KOBE, AM 1450. And we're going to come back and talk about some more national and international stuff and try to figure out what is going on with ISIS. Here's a few more headlines for you. Man bites off mother's ear during argument. Exotic dancer's death reveals underworld of pumping parties, cosmetic surgery, and the man charged. I am the Michelangelo of butt injections, he claims. Another story, nurse kills 30 patients with drug overdoses while trying to practice resuscitation. Here's another story. Driver dies falling off bridge after stopping to help crash victims. That was in New Jersey. And they say that there was a crash and she was pulling over to help out, Good Samaritan style. And that they think that another car was headed towards her, and she stepped back and fell down about 40 feet, must have fallen on her head, but she died. So at least they say she died as a hero. There's a big fight in Los Angeles, the port of Los Angeles, one of the biggest ports in the world, for slow processing. Anyway, we'll take you out here with Willie Nelson and Ray Charles, Seven Spanish Angels. We'll be back after the break on the hour. Kelly O'Connell Show, KOBE 523-1450.
She reached down and picked the gun up that lay smoking in his hand. She said, "Father, please forgive me. I can't make it without my man." And she knew the gun was empty, and she knew she could not win. But her final prayer was answered when the rifles fired again. Seven Spanish angels at the altar of the sun.
It's Kelly here. Good morning, 706. If you just tuned in, we spent some time going through some of the state stories, especially what's going on up in the roundhouse bills that they're going to try to pass, and probably a lot of them have a good chance of passing. All right. Now, I've got a story for you. I wanted to get your feedback on this. Now, Ron Paul is kind of a god to the libertarians, and he is a medical doctor. And he's also, you know, libertarianism, what is it? Libertarianism is kind of government light. Less taxes, smaller imprint of government, less regulations and laws and stuff. More self-reliance.
Theory.
And I've got a clip of him here talking about the chances of secession. Now, what is secession? Secession is when a state or an entity, when an entity, a state, a city, whatever, tries to leave the mother body, you know, it would be like, let's just say that Texas and Arizona decided to leave the United States and form a new country. And most people who know history realize that Texas used to be its own country. But anyway, here is, what do you think about this? Have things gotten so bad here? Are conservatives so frustrated? There is really no other way to have a good life than to leave the United States. Here's Ron Paul.
Well, start off by talking about the subject. And the subject, of course, is secession and nullification, the breaking up of government. And the good news is it's going to happen.
Amen.
It's happening. And it's not going to be because there will be enough people in the U.S. Congress to legislate it. It won't happen. It'll be de facto. You know, you'll have a gold standard when the paper standard fails, and we're getting awfully close to that. And people will have to resort to taking care of themselves. So when conditions break down, there's going to be an alternative. And I think that's what we're witnessing. I think the 20th century has been a fantastic century to prove so many things that went badly. For instance, Nazism and communism and fascism, total failure. I mean, who's going to get up and talk and say, okay, let's start a communist system? Well, they could have talked to Mises in 1912. He'd have told them it wasn't going to work anyway. But they tried it out. They had the experimentation with it, and they killed millions of people, and there's a total failure. And the evidence is out there. So this to me is, we've seen this happen. To me, this is very, very good news. At the same time, what we're currently witnessing is the failure of Keynesian interventionist planned economies associated with a Federal Reserve system, and that too will end. So I think we live in an age which I consider an end of an era, that has made all these trials and tribulations. And I see it historically over a.
All right. So what do you think about that secession? Is it a joke? Do you see it happening? 523-1450. Would you support secession under any purpose? Or would you see secession as being a traitor to the United States? Now, bearing in mind that the initial 13 colonies wanted more independence probably than they ended up with, because there was a fight between the Hamiltonians and the Jeffersonians over, you know, how much state rights versus federal rights. And they say that Jefferson won the short battle and Hamilton won the long-term battle. The Madison Jeffersonian side, and Hamilton was in favor of, stronger federal, the central bank and stronger federal government and everything. And it seems to me that things are growing in that direction these days. Obviously, this present administration is without any real debate, you can certainly see that the movement is in the direction of stronger government rules and interventions such as Obamacare, et cetera. Now, there have been some states that wanted to have parts of their states that wanted to move out and start their own thing. And one of them was in Colorado, right above us. Another one is in California. They wanted to break California in six pieces. There's another one, believe it or not, Maryland. Maryland, the north of Maryland is extraordinarily conservative and redneck, believe it or not, and it's right next to D.C. They wanted to secede. And they wanted to secede from their states and to create their own state. And the argument behind it is, like, if you're in California and you're living up in outside of the Redwood Forest or something like that, how can you possibly expect if you're living up in Northern California, how can you possibly expect to be represented by your senators and your congressmen when all of the power is down south and in a very, very liberal state that seems to be becoming more and more liberal? And what would here, this seems almost crazy. It seems almost crazy to suggest it, that a state in the United States, the most arguably the most successful country in the history of the world in terms of military and economics and rule of law and freedom, that a state would actually leave or want to leave. Now, what would it be like, for example, for Texas to leave? I mean, what would it go through? What would it take to go through a secession? What if Arizona left? And probably the most conservative parts of the country are right above us. You're talking Montana, Wyoming, parts of Colorado, the Dakotas. These states could come together and make a block. I would be kind of fascinated to understand what it would even take to try that. So 523-1450. Now, this is not getting a lot of commentary on the phone line, so let's shift gears here a little bit and talk about Italy. Is Italy's fear of being invaded by Libya, by ISIS through Libya, Libya is a failed state, are the fears of Italy being invaded, being bombed and invaded by ISIS complete joke? Are they a hoax? Is there any truth to this? And what are we doing about it? What's Europe doing about it? Here's a clip from Breitbart.
Italy closed its embassy in Libya on Sunday due to the worsening conflict there and stepped up its call for a UN mission to help calm the situation. Foreign Minister Paolo Gentiloni said in a statement, "The deteriorating situation in Libya made it necessary to close the embassy." Defense Minister Roberta Pinotti said in an interview with Il Messaggero newspaper on Sunday that groups in Libya that have been infiltrated by extremists should be anesthetized and a peacekeeping mission should be carried out across the country.
All right, so Italy claims that it is afraid of air bombing from Libya. Now, you're going to say, Kelly, this is ridiculous. This is more fear-mongering. This is more rubbish. How could this handful of poor and ignorant rebels put a air force together and come bomb Europe? And the answer to that is they're not ignorant. There are educated people in ISIS and joining ISIS, and there are also billions of dollars being made by ISIS in the oil sector, because they're taking over oil fields in places like Libya, these areas of Syria, Iraq, and stuff, and they're getting money out of these, getting money out and really menacing the entire world. What are we doing? Somebody asked me last night or yesterday what I would do if I was the commander-in-chief about ISIS, and I told him, you know what I would do? I'd get the Green Berets, I would get the Army Rangers, I'd get the SEALs, I'd get every special force group in the United States and take some of each. I would call up the British and say, give us your commandos, some of your commandos. I'd call France, give us the French Foreign Legion. Let's put together a crack team of super soldiers and go in there, 10,000, 20,000 strong. Let's just go. Let's go to war. Let's wipe him out. Let's bomb him with napalm. Let's bring in. I said I would have the A-10 Warthog tank busters flying up and down those roads every single day, and I would obliterate them. That's all I do. I mean, I became very animated just thinking about this. And the way that we're dealing with it right now is just kind of an absolute joke, in my opinion. A limited war against probably the world's worst force. These people are worse than the Nazis. The Nazis killed Jews and gay people and gypsies and stuff. ISIS kills everybody who doesn't agree with it. And they're taking over. I mean, it's just, anyway, 717, Kelly O'Connell. And let's take a break here. See if I can dig up some more Ray Charles for you here. But you know what I'm saying? Why were the strongest military, the most sophisticated military in the history of the world, and we can't take a stronger? Is it because of political correctness that we can't do this? I really don't get it. I mean, I've never seen more. I've never seen more malfeasance, more indifference about a super serious situation. I mean, where's the sense of responsibility we have on these areas when we help create the danger through Muslim Spring and taking over Iraq? There's a vacuum there. We left. It's filled with the worst people in history, and we're just kind of hanging around saying, well, we'll pick a few off here and there. Anyway, here's some Ray Charles Mess Around. This is a song, believe it or not, that was written by Ahmet Ertegun. I believe that's who wrote this. He's the head of the label of one of these big music labels. Kelly O'Connell, 718, 719 on the button, 523-1450. We'll be right back.
The people do. I mess around. They're doing the mess around. They're doing the mess around. Everybody's doing the mess around.
Officials in Italy are boosting security at high-profile sites over concerns that ISIS terrorists.
Italy, the influence of ISIS is gradually expanding from its stronghold in Syria and Iraq to extremist.
It's Kelly here, and good morning to you. 7:23, and I guess kind of almost just got a half of an hour here. Let me go over some local stories. Teen accused of engaging in lewd acts with an underage girl, and it's actually another girl named Destiny Miller who's supposedly had done some pornographic activity with a younger girl. She had filmed this and then distributed it, so she's in trouble. And there's a very strange story I was looking at last night. There's a girl in, I'm trying to remember what school she was at. She was some school back east, Virginia Tech or whatever, and she is charged with killing another girl, and they think what happened is that she had a brief lesbian interaction with this other girl, kissed a little bit or whatever. The girl that she kissed had a boyfriend, and then they'd only met a few times but had then gotten together for a drink, and what happened then was that the girl who had just been accepted into medical school had said something. One was, I think she was black or she was Indian, and the girl, the murderer, was white. She had said, the victim had said something that caused hatred in the murderer, and so she ended up strangling her. But it's a very strange story. and just bizarre. They're trying to figure out what happened, and I was thinking it could have been that this, you know, this one girl had rejected the other one, and she couldn't take it. But anyway, DACC, Don Anna Community Campus East Mesa, was shut down with a second bomb threat yesterday, but they came to the conclusion that there was no bomb there. Graffiti has been removed from Don Anna County Magistrate Court. And University Avenue ramp onto Interstate 25 is going to be closed. Here's a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Tony, what's up, buddy?
Hey, not much, man. I've been listening to you the last few days while I'm driving to work, and my head's about ready to explode.
Okay.
it's just all this nonsense, not that you're speaking, but that you're speaking of as far as ISIS.
What can we do? Tony, what can we do? We're watching ISIS, which is very strong in the north of Africa. The Islam is strong. They're taking over Libya, and they're going to bomb Italy? We're not going to do anything? My head's about to explode, too. What's your thoughts?
Okay, my thoughts, you know, the way I look at it, I have an ex-brother-in-law who's from Saudi Arabia, and we used to get in a lot of discussions. And honestly, from talking to him, there are no such thing as moderate Muslims. This guy basically told me when we were at war with Iraq that our soldiers were being prostituted by our government to protect Saudi Arabia, and that Saudi Arabia couldn't care less about our soldiers because basically they were infidels and they couldn't care less if they died.
Yeah.
And this whole, and my sister turned Muslim, and here's a woman who grew up a Christian her whole life, and now, I mean, she's sitting here blaming the Jews and America. And she was born and raised in Boston.
That's terrible.
And so here's a woman who just completely went in opposite direction. And if they could do this to a woman when she got married, I believe she was in her late 30s, if they can transform a Christian woman who is associated with Albanian Orthodox religion, where my grandparents left Albania because Muslims were killing Christians in Albania in the late 1800s, I mean, they can transform anybody.
Yeah. Well, what do you think if you had a chance, let's say that you were given a spot on the nightly news of one of, you know, NBC, ABC, and you could make one statement to America on this topic, what would you want people to know?
Two things. Well, one statement, but two things in that statement. One is don't trust our president, period. The guy is just evil and kind. I mean, he's just Hitler, Stalin in the USA. Secondly, Islam is a threat to this country. I have armed my children. They're older, 19, 24, and 29, my wife and myself, because this is a serious threat to every American, ISIS in this country, well, Islam in this country, and we need to be prepared. And you talked about secession. We're not going to secede. We're going to have a civil war right here.
Where do you think it's going to break out, and what do you think that the chief cause of it would be?
One of the chief causes of civil war in this country is going to be, honestly, it's either going to be Islam and Christians here, or, and this is just based on what I've been reading online and talking to people, it's going to be illegal versus citizens. And that's another real threat that we need to take into consideration, because who's going to respect a country that has allowed 20 million people, especially women and children, to come in and literally take over the country? Women and children, unarmed, come over here and just took this country over.
Tony, hold on 1 second. You're on the Kelly O'Connell Show. I'll put you on hold. Yeah, well, I mean, that's amazing, but I think we've been told so many times that we've got so much stuff, we've got freedom, we've got prosperity to give it to illegal people. It's kind of an incomprehensible, position to take, but it's also, there's a lot of guilt, and shaming involved with this from the people who support these ideas.
And that's correct, because liberals think with emotion. They don't think logically, because if they thought logically, we'd be in Syria, we'd be in Iraq. Instead of drones hitting buildings, we would be dropping, like you said, napalm on the front lines of ISIS and just literally annihilating them, because that's the only cure. When you have an infestation, you have to annihilate it.
Yeah, it's like getting bed bugs. Let me ask you this. What would we have to lose by doing that, going in and wiping out ISIS?
Not one thing. Islam, Muslims don't like us anyway. There are more mosques being built in this country than there are churches, and they are preaching hate.
Yeah, they certainly are. I've got another call. I've got two more calls. Hold on one second. I'll put you on hold, Kelly Connell here. And anything else, Tony?
Nah, that'll do. Thanks,
great,
man.
Great call. Thanks a lot. Have a good day. You're on the Kelly O'Connell Show, and who's this?
Hey, Kelly. It's Karen.
Karen, what's on your mind?
This is to go off what Tony was saying. There's an article that I can't recommend enough for everybody. It's in The Atlantic. It's from a very liberal writer named Graham Wood, and it's titled What ISIS Wants. And it touches on essentially everything Tony was just talking about.
Yeah.
That ISIS is purely Islam. It's ancient medieval Islam, the way it was written, the way it was supposed to be practiced back then.
Wahhabism.
Yes, and that these folks are, they're Sunni. They come from the the jihadist portion of the Sunnis, which are the Salafists, and that they don't want peace. They don't want to negotiate. Their end goal is to bring about the end of the world. And the way that they do that is what they did to the Jordanian pilot, what they did to the Christians in Egypt. They want to pull everybody in to make this massive world war. And honest to God, Anderson Cooper interviewed this guy. His article came out 2-3 days ago. Cooper had him on last night. And as Anderson Cooper said, he had people try to explain this to him. But this article spells it out so clearly.
Believe it or not, Karen, my friend sent it to me. And my friend who has been on the show before, he's very liberal in some ways, Pete, but he said there is no moderate Islam. And I was like, to hear it from him, I just about went off the road. I've got another call. Is there anything else?
No, that's it. I just want to make people aware of that article.
One more time, the name of the article.
It's What ISIS Wants. It's from the magazine or the newspaper called The Atlantic, and the author is Graham Wood.
And he's trying to take us out of the wood on that one. Thanks a lot, Karen. Have a good day. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Aaron Kelly.
Aaron, hey, can I take a break and come back to you because I know you got some juicy comments?
Sure.
Thanks. All right, folks, we'll take a break right here. We'll be right back.
The Tri-County Chapter of the Mule Deer Foundation will be hosting the third annual banquet to benefit the mule deer and wildlife conservation on Saturday, February 28th at the Sumlin Park Racetrack and Casino. All attendees will enjoy dinner and an evening of fun and exciting raffles, games, live and silent auctions for big game hunts, guns, and MDF merchandise. For ticket information or to learn more about the Mule Deer Foundation, give Colleen a call at 505-363-5241 or visit the website muledeer.org.
As an entrepreneur, you're always on the go. So turn your mobile phone into a business phone system with Grasshopper, the entrepreneur's phone system. Get a new business number or keep your current one. Sound professional with a main greeting and multiple extensions that forward callers to your mobile phone. You can even get voicemails transcribed. Join over 150,000 small businesses who stay connected with Grasshopper. See how it works at grasshopper.com, the entrepreneur's phone system.
With a Sam's Club membership, you get incredible savings every time you shop. Serve up a creamy Monterey seafood lasagna for only $14.98. That's under $3 a serving. Or how about a delicious pretzel-crusted tilapia for $10.98? Just $1.50 per person. Plus, stock the pantry with a 3-pack of Bertolli organic pasta sauce, only $6.88. You'll have a quick, healthy weeknight dinner for less than $2.50 a jar. Join and save. Sam's Club. Life is better when you're in the club. See club for details.
Here's your Las Cruces and Southern New Mexico forecast on AM 1450 KOVE.
For tonight, you can expect mostly cloudy conditions with a low down around 43. It will be windy with gusts as high as 39 miles an hour. Your Saturday, mostly sunny with a high up around 75, and those breezes are going to continue with gusts as high as 32 miles an hour. And by your Saturday evening, partly cloudy with a low down around 47, and the breezy conditions are going to continue with gusts as high as 25 miles an hour. And that's the buzz on weather, KOVE.
Don't miss the annual O'Blarney Golf Scramble to benefit Las Cruces Catholic Schools. Monday, March 16th at Picacho Hills Country Club. This year, O'Blarney has teamed up with Cisparo to raffle off a brand new Jeep Patriot. Only 150 tickets will be printed. All proceeds go directly to Holy Cross Catholic School and St. Mary's High School. A great opportunity to win big while supporting a great cause. If you plan to participate, call Holy Cross Catholic School for more information. 575-526-2517.
It's showtime. Don't miss the number one gun show in New Mexico. The Las Cruces Sunrise Lions Club presents its Winter Gun Show this Saturday and Sunday, February 21st and 22nd at the Las Cruces Convention Center. Buy, sell, and trade guns, ammo, knives, reloading supplies, and Western collectibles. Don't miss the number one gun show in New Mexico this Saturday and Sunday at the Las Cruces Convention Center. Doors open at 9 a.m. All proceeds are used to support local charities. It's showtime. We'll see you there.
It's spring flooring season, so that means it's the best time of the year to freshen up your home. And Lumber Liquidators, with hundreds of stores nationwide, can help you get it done for less. How? Request the free spring flooring catalog today, and we'll include a $50 promo code to use on your next order. Just call 800-404-1720 or go to lumberliquidators.com and search Trends 2015. The new catalog is filled with flooring design trends, inspiration, and ideas to help you get started. You'll see all the latest styles in hardwood, laminate, vinyl, bamboo, hand-scraped flooring, and so much more. The catalog has the hottest new flooring colors, textures, and finishes, and features industry leaders like Bellawood, backed by a transferable 100-year warranty. With all this, plus the $50 promo code, the new catalog is the must-have resource guide for your beautiful new floors. So call 800-404-1720 or go to lumberliquidators.com and search Trends 2015 to get your $50 promo code. That's 800-404-1720 or lumberliquidators.com. Search Trends 2015. Hurry, promo code expires soon.
Starting the day the right way with Kelly O'Connell and AM Las Cruces on KOBE.
It is Kelly here, and I've got a call here from Aaron, and we've been talking about Islam, and we're talking about ISIS, and ISIS in Italy, and ISIS in America, and the whole kind of crazy approach of this administration to deal with this threat. Aaron, then, what are your thoughts?
Well, I made this statement probably several months ago that I felt like our president was no longer, maybe never was, an actual friend or, you know, loved our country. And I was happy to see that other people are starting to take notice when Giuliani, the mayor,
yeah,
came on and made the statement that he doesn't believe Obama loves this country the way most Americans do. In fact, I don't think he loves it at all, to tell you the truth. I mean, and that's based on actions. He just recently announced our war plans to the world, that we're going to attack Mosul. I don't know if he gave them the day and the time. He probably did, which is just going to get a lot of people killed on our side. You know, when you're fighting an enemy, you don't tell him you're coming. You just go do it.
Well, you know, there's just so often these things happen, and, you know, the only response that I think that people have anymore to defend defend against these criticisms of the president is that you're a hater, you don't like black people,
yeah,
you've never supported the president, you know, on and on.
Well, yeah, but that's why I say it's based on his actions. My feelings are based on his actions, but the things that he's done and continues to do when it comes to terrorism that harms our country is just beyond the pale. I just can't believe that an American president would sell out his own country. I mean, sells it out to the illegals that are coming across. He sells it out to the Islamists when he tries to put the moral equivalent on Christians, rather beheading Christians. He's making these statements. It just is insane. You know, maybe he's practicing that part of Islam where he's allowed to lie to the infidel.
Taqiyya.
Yeah, maybe that's what he's doing. I mean,
I don't know. I have no idea. Aaron,
I don't either, but it's a bad, bad thing. I think this man is going to get a lot of Americans killed.
Oh, that's a very frightening idea. Anything else?
That's all I can stomach for today.
All right, Aaron, thanks for the call. All right, folks, let me just play you a little clip here. ISIS spreads its tentacles into North Africa as Europe looks on in alarm. And this is from Tomo News.
ISIS extends its reach into North Africa.
Hold on a second. We do have another call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
It's Kathy, Kelly.
Hey, Kathy, what's up? I'll be interested to find out what's on your mind.
Well, it's like, wow, you know, I guess it's all right to be paranoid if everybody's out to get you.
Well, let me ask you this. Hold on a second. If anybody had started talking about the Muslim plan to topple New York and attack the World Trade Centers, they would have been called paranoid, of course. And then it happens, and we still have never recovered from that. Are we really being paranoid in the way that we're reacting? And if so, how so?
I think you're being paranoid by the way you're labeling all Muslims. You know, I have to support the president when he doesn't want to tie this to a religious war. Do you Republicans really want to fight 1.3 billion people on this planet? Do you want to make it a Christian and Muslim conflict that will probably rage for generations?
Kathy,
or do you want to find a solution?
What's the solution? You're here as a stateswoman. What's your solution?
You know, Kelly, first, stop labeling.
I'll put you on hold for the Kelly O'Connell Show. Yeah, okay, stop labeling. Well, I guess the president has been listening to you because he's not labeling. How has that benefited us?
Because, you know, I have to agree with them. These are people that have grabbed a religion, and they're brutes and psychopaths who find joy in killing in very horrible ways and showing it. I mean, just like people who – these people need help mentally, and they have grabbed the religion.
They need love, obviously. They need a hug.
No, they don't. You know, they're a lot like the Nazis.
Hey, come on. Let's hug it out. Let's get together. Let's have a hugathon.
No, you know, I'm not hugging these people. These people are as bad as Hitler was.
Well, let's kill them.
And just because Hitler was German doesn't make all the Germans bad.
Well, I mean, be that as it may, let me ask you this. Let's just say that you were president for a month. What would you do to get rid of this crisis?
In a month, you know,
a year, 10 years, whatever, however much time it takes.
Well, you know, just like the Germans had to be stopped in World War II, you know, if these people continue to grab territory and execute and brutalize our planet, civilization has to get together and put an end to it. Stop them. Yes, I do agree with that. But to label them as Muslims against Christians, you are asking for generations of war. I mean, address the problem of ISIS.
We've already got generations of war. I don't know where this is headed, because it seems like what you're saying is exactly what we're doing right now, and it doesn't appear to be paying off.
I don't see that we're doing a lot against ISIS right now. I find it very disturbing that everybody, even Italy's just sitting back, or Turkey's, part of NATO, they're just sitting there.
Listen. I'm saying this idea that if we call things the correct names that they'll go away doesn't appear to be paying off, does it?
Well, do you really think it's correct to say all Muslims are radical? They're not.
I never said that, and you're kind of putting words in my mouth. Hold on a second, for God's sakes, get a hold of yourself. Gird your loins for a moment. I am saying that if somebody wants to come on here and say that all Muslims are radicalized, this is a free speech forum. I'm not going to tell a person to shut up. I'm just going to listen to them. And if other people – hold on one second. You've called the Kelly O'Connell Show, put you on hold. Look, I've got more calls coming in. As usual, you've stirred up the hornet's nest. Give me your 1-minute solution.
You know, treat them like we did the Nazis. They need to be contained and destroyed. You can't let that type of person rule the planet.
Yes.
But not all Muslims are radical.
Okay, agree. I agree with that. I agree with that. Let's hug it out, folks. But no, but seriously, let's kill all of ISIS and then let's go on a PR campaign.
Well, let's do what we did to the Nazis. Let's get them. Let's try them. Let's imprison them. Let's destroy them.
Okay,
yes.
Agreed.
We don't have a place on this planet for extreme people like that, whether they're German or from the Middle East. It doesn't matter.
Sure. Agreed. We're mostly agreed here. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the call for the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
It's me again. This is for Kathy, and I hope she's listening.
Oh, my God. Go ahead.
It's not Muslims against Christians. It's a certain sect of Muslims against everybody else. Even other Sunni Muslims who don't go to the extreme that ISIS is. If these Sunni Muslims want to just try to get along and they've been worked in government, they're considered worthy of death because they haven't followed Muhammad's way of doing things from the Middle Ages. So it's not Muslim against Christian. It's a sect of Islam that ISIS is following, and that's why any Shia that they get, the Shias don't even have a chance to say, okay, we'll follow your edicts. They're massacred immediately because they know Muhammad's teachings and they don't follow them. So Kathy does not understand. And no, I don't think anybody's saying it's
hold
Muslim.
On. I'll put you on a hold. I'll be right back. Yeah. Okay. All right. So we got there's calls are just pouring in. Anything else?
Yeah, but Kathy, please go read that article. It's by a lefty like you, and it'll explain.
All right.
It's
read
not
the article.
Muslim Catholic. Bye.
Thanks a lot. All right. Somebody just dropped off on the call back. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Morning, Kelly. Rob.
Hey, Rob. Good morning to you. And what's on your mind?
So at the Tea Party meeting last night, we had an interesting guest speaker.
Hold on one second. I'll put you on a hold. I'll be right back. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, he's a little pudgy, losing some of his hair, but he gave a real fine talk last night.
Well, that's no way to talk about yourself, Rob. But
how'd you know I was talking about myself?
No, but I did give a speech last night on John Dewey and the education system. But I got other calls here, Rob. Anything else?
I wanted to ask you, why don't you give that speech on your show someday?
Okay, how about next week?
Terrific.
Okay, thanks a lot, Rob. Have a good day. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Mike.
Mike, let me put you on hold. I'm going to go to break, and we'll come back and get your thoughts, okay? That's a rhetorical question. We'll be right back. Folks, 747 and KOB 523-1450.
Don't miss the annual O'Blarney Golf.
Hey, who's this?
Hey, Kelly.
Hey, hold on. Hey, who's this? Hello?
Hello, Kelly. Good morning.
Who is this?
Anthony.
Hey, Anthony, I'll put you on hold on. We'll be right back, okay? Thank you. It's Kelly here, and we have got Mike. Mike, thanks for the call, and what's on your mind?
Kelly, we could always give them jobs. Isn't that what the White House says?
Yeah, I think so. Well, the administration just made the incomprehensible statement that the way to solve this crisis is to give Muslim radicals jobs. Now, would that mean bringing them into America to give them employment or create jobs overseas? I really don't know. It's probably the craziest thing I've ever heard from this administration, and that is covering a lot of ground.
Kelly, the other thing is, Patty mentioned that there's like the two sects. You got the Sunnis and the Shiites. Shiites?
Yeah.
Isn't Iran Shiite?
Yes.
Michael Savage said last night that Iran is really fighting ISIS.
Okay. They're fighting them because they're not them. These guys are Sunnis, but they have a Shia view of the end of days, which means that the Mahdi is coming, their savior, and he is going to kick a lot of butt with Jesus's help. I was telling you about this the other day. The history of Islam is the history of inner warfare with one another. But any other points, Mike, or what is your point?
No, I'm just saying, hope to see you at the gun show.
All right, man. Thanks a lot. Have a great day. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connor Show. Who's this?
This is Anthony.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm listening.
I just want to talk about that healthcare stuff you were talking about yesterday, a little change of subject.
Well, all right, go for it. Anthony, listen, Anthony Cordova, can we do this next week? Because we're right in the middle of something that's kind of like building a lot of steam. So can we set this up ahead of time next time? Don't bushwhack me like that. If you want to listen, I got all day for bringing people on the show, but give me a heads up beforehand. All right. So look, here is a little bit about Italy boosting. Well, let me see what the best clip is here. NBC News. ISIS names Italy as the next target. Check this out.
Turning overseas to Iraq, where ISIS launched another wave of attacks, only to be met with fierce resistance on the ground. But ISIS is relentless, both on the battlefield and in the atrocities it commits on videotape for the world to see. We get the latest tonight from our chief foreign correspondent, Richard Engel.
ISIS is spreading like a virus, and months of U.S.-led airstrikes don't seem to be containing it. In Libya, ISIS has been showing its strength. The group beheaded 21 Egyptian Christians, one of the executioners speaking in English with an American accent.
Recently, you've seen us on the hills of Hashan.
Egypt hit back with its own airstrikes. ISIS says Italy will be next. Security has already been beefed up at St. Peter's. But the biggest advances and reportedly the worst atrocities have come where Washington claims to be making the most progress in Iraq, which is starting to look like a failed state. In the north, we saw firsthand last week how Kurdish forces have been under attack. Today, near the city of Erbil, they turned back a major ISIS assault. In central Iraq, where ISIS captured the town of al-Baghdadi, Iraqi officials claim as many as 48 of their fighters were burned alive by militants, unconfirmed by U.S. officials, but it reportedly happened just 5 miles from a base where hundreds of U.S. Marines are deployed as advisors. But why the spread? ISIS is moving into all the cracks in the Middle East, the unresolved conflicts in Iraq, Libya, the Sinai, Syria, and Gaza. This is not a problem that can be droned away. The ISIS virus is consuming the Middle East, infecting Europe, and showing no sign of stopping there. Richard Engel, NBC.
Okay, folks, there is a threat in Italy, according to the Italians, according to ISIS, that we are going to have an attack of Italy on from ISIS. And I mean, it's absolutely, we do have another call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connor Show. Who's this?
It's Patty.
Hey, Patty, what's up?
Hey, about, you know, maybe backtracking a little bit. Turn down the radio, please. I found some articles on ISIS and relations to John McCain in Newsmax, a September 17th, 2014 article, and in the Breitbart, September 18th, 2014 article. I think everybody ought to look at those, make a decision on maybe who's behind and who's financing all of this. Saudi Arabia's too. I'd agree with Tony, what he said earlier. But we need to look a little bit further at who's financing it through our tree.
So you're saying that ISIS is being funded by America?
That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't say, like, the people. People are funding it through tax dollars, but unknowingly. Okay, I would look into McCain's history. And it was in Breitbart, and it was also in Newsmax, September of last year.
All right.
Just take a look. Form your own opinions.
All right, Patty, we're running out of time here. Anything else?
Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thanks a lot, Patty. All right, folks, John McCain funding ISIS sounds a little far-fetched, but you never know. All right, so Department of Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson, we in the administration, the government, should give voice to the plight of Muslims living in this country and the discrimination that they face. How do you feel about that? Are they being discriminated against? Is there anything that this president or his administration cares more about than race or about, you know? All right, here's another clip for you. CNN, ISIS in Italy.
This question about Libya being a haven for ISIS, just 100 miles away from Italy and the rest of Europe. ISIS has threatened Italy, right, with the quote, "We are just south of Rome." And you just heard our reporter in Rome talking about how Italy is deploying counter-terror police to major tourist sites. They're worried about militants smuggling easily into Italy. How serious is the risk?
Extremely high, Aaron. Partly it's the geography. Think about the distance between the United States and Florida and Cuba. It's a short stretch of water. The ISIS fighters can either slip in with the waves of illegal migrants, or they can simply hire a boat and come ashore on one of the islands. We ought to remember the country of Malta, an island country between Italy and Libya, and of course, huge symbolic value if they were able to get a strike up toward Rome.
And of course, it was the chaos and the emptiness left after the NATO, the mission. It was successful. Gaddafi was gone, and now it's been fighting ever since. ISIS dedicated the cover of its magazine to its desire to invade Italy. And in this, they said, "We will conquer your Rome, break your crosses, and enslave your women by the permission of Allah, the Exalted. If we do not reach that in time, our children and grandchildren will reach it, and they will sell your sons as slaves at the slave market. Every Muslim should get out of his house, find a crusader, and kill him. The Islamic State will remain until its banner flies over Rome." Obviously, this is the ISIS propaganda we've heard so much of. The question is, when you now have ISIS in Libya, with a stronghold in Libya, as opposed to Syria or Iraq, how serious of a threat is that for Europe? Does that change the game?
I think it does. I think it will enable Europe to begin to focus. I would like to see NATO look at this. And, of course,
all right, that's about halfway through that clip. We're running out of time. Thanks for listening in. I hope you have a good weekend. I'll take you out with some Muhammad's Radio by Warren Zevon and Jackson Brown. And one more call here. Yeah, you got 10 seconds. Who's this? All right. Have a great weekend, folks, and I'll see you back on Monday. Ciao.
Everybody's restless. They got no place to go. Someone's always trying to tell them something they already know. So their anger and resentment flow. But don't it make you want to rock and roll all night long? For Hammett's Radio. Radio.